Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Well, we are diving into Advent. We just finished up a couple of longer series and really want to focus this particular year on not Advent, because we focus on Advent every year to a certain extent, but where it impacts everything. We're really digging into the Word on the Christmas narrative. Some years we just save that for Christmas Eve. Sometimes we go longer. This year we're going to go longer. And if you're not familiar with Advent, because it's not a biblical thing that we're mandated to do, it's a traditional thing. And depending on your background, depending on where you grew up, depending on your experiences, you might have a different understanding of Advent. You might not have any understanding of Advent. And all of that is fully, fully understandable. So we're just going to kind of start from scratch. Advent is a period of time that we choose to breathe, to slow down, and focus ourselves and prepare ourselves for the Christmas celebration of Jesus Christ. And we do this because it's real easy, especially I think even more so in the world today, to miss that. Even as Christians, just to miss that. While we were talking the other day, a 48 Plus Club, there was like three or four of us talking about how the world is kind of taking Christmas and how it's so consumeristic now and the materialism that's with it, and it's just kind of overwhelming and sad, and to the point that it almost feels like, why even continue doing Christmas? Which is absolutely true. That's what's all around us at all points of time. But if we choose, then we can work together in the Scripture to keep ourselves in the right focus so we don't, as the church, as Christians, miss it, if that makes sense. And different people are going to have different opinions. I fully get that. Some people are completely disgusted by giving gifts to one another and materialistic standpoint, the consumeristic standpoint. I personally like to get gifts. I take them anytime you want to give them to me. Just letting you know it's out there. But how do we as a church make sure that we keep our focus on the giver instead of the gifts? For some, they're going to be really bothered because it's not Jesus' technical birthday, and it's not. It was coincided. Jesus, more than likely, was born late spring, summer months, within the Middle Eastern area of things. That's why it was cold there and not here. But if anybody says, hey, let's pick a day and just celebrate Jesus' birthday, I'm all in. It doesn't have to be his technical birthday to me. That's my choice on how I do that and how I accept that. And so there's a lot of benefit to us slowing down for the next few Sundays and just looking at the major aspects of the Christmas story, love, joy, peace. Today we're going to be talking about hope, to keep ourselves in that place so that when we get to that celebration, it's a celebration, and we're keeping everything else in its proper place. Does that make sense? So that's kind of what Advent is. That's kind of why we would lean into it. We'll have different Advent moments like we always do through videos. And that's why we light the candle today, for hope. Now, my hope. What I would like to do this year, it's a little bit different. We've done elements of it, but I want it to be a stronger focus of looking at how these things play out within the prophecy of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the New Testament and what it means to us today. Does that make sense? So we're going to have a little bit more of a focus within that. So if you would, let's go and get our Bibles. We're going to go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 to get us started here. And if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles underneath the chairs and baskets around the room that you can keep borrowed or still. Or if you have YouVersion, the app, it's a national app, free app that you can do. Search for local live events and you'll see a TSF for today's date. And it'll give you all the scriptures and place to take notes and all that fun stuff. But I want to read to you kind of the main, I guess, prophecy that most of us are used to when it comes to the Christmas narrative. And I want you to keep in mind as we read this, if you can kind of strip away all the years of your life of knowledge, that this was written 750 years before Jesus was born. Okay, if you can kind of keep that in your mindset, because that's going to be an important part of our time together during Advent. So let me just read this. And we'll go from there. So, but there will be no gloom for who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, and the land of man. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Now, here we go. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy of the harvest, as they were glad when they divided the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Look at verse 6, 7, 8. Who are they talking about? Jesus, right? They're talking about the Messiah. Again, some 700 years before. Now, that should, I think, row us. I'm not sure if it overly rouses us, because we've been raised with this. We've been raised with this message. For us in the modern day church, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament is pretty much just that. You know what I mean? Like, if you go from Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, to Matthew is one page. And so we think, yeah, there's really cool prophecies. Yeah, okay. And I want to make sure that we understand just how crazy it is that these things are so dead on so many years before with such accuracy, and everybody knew it before it happened. Everybody that was in the Jewish community knew it when it happened. But I think we lose it because time goes so fast to us. So, for instance, can you believe it's freaking December already? It's December. Like, in a month, you have 2025. How many people think that this was the year of chaos and took way too long? Okay, a few of us. Some of the same people probably say this, though. How many people said that it just kind of went like that? Right. It goes like that. It goes really, really fast. Okay, so here's what I want to do. It's time for some illustration. Okay. I got a box. Okay. So once upon a time, and I think we've done it two or three times over our 20 years. I've never done it. But has anybody seen, like, someone use string or rope as a timeline? Okay, you guys seen that? Okay. I remember the one time I remember it for sure. I remember Jenny, when she was working with the kids, did a rope timeline. I think it was like 7 feet long or something. I mean, it was pretty massive. That showed the amount of time that a kids have between the time that they're 0 and 18, and then to show how much of that time we actually have with them at church, between the Sunday mornings and VBS, that type of thing, and how little influence we have versus all the time that you have with your kids. And it was a point of saying, we are here to partner with you, but if you're counting on the church to raise your kids for Christ, that's not the best plan to go. So, time for some string. If I can figure out how to open it. String. Nice, huh? This little black dot right here is 2024. Okay? So, just so you have an idea of how the string thing is going to work. If, bloop, 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 where'd it go? Is it back here?
Yeah.
There it is. On my rope, that's 2000. Okay? So this is 24 years. Let's see. Vivian, come here. Come here, Viv. And I need Emily, too.
Remember Macy.
Remember Macy. Okay. So this is, you're going to be on this side. Come over on this side, but that's 2020, that's 2024.
Yes.
It's 2000.
Yes.
Where would you say you were born?
Like here.
Okay. M? You'd be right back
you're
behind
right
you, right?
You're right there.
Okay. Okay. So you guys have lived your entire lives in the 6 inches. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Emily, you take this one.
Huh?
Like up, like there. Okay.
Well,
You take 2,000.
2,000.
Yeah, don't let go.
Okay.
You guys got it? You can handle this?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, this is the World Trade Center. Okay?
Oh. Oh.
No, just back at this point would be the World Trade Center. I know this is going to tangle up, and I know I'm going to get feedback. Nick, I need you. Does everybody know Nick yet? Nick's been hanging out with us since the parks. Nick is an incredible person, but watch your wallets. I really don't know where you're at, Nick. You're probably 1800s or something. I don't know. And you want to hold that about there so it doesn't fall?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't get up. What is it with people not wanting to get up today? Come on, Jennifer. You got that one? Thank you. Nancy, come on. We'll get you to work. Something got tangled. I knew it was going to get tangled. Okay. Nancy, you're here. You probably won't be on the other side. There you go. I knew it would tangle. I tried to get the Christmas lights off of our tree yesterday. It was not a good situation. I can show you some scars. This is when I should have had my wife taken. Well, this. Okay, that's sweet. Jenny Houck, what are you doing sitting down? Get up here. This is where I cut myself getting off the lights yesterday. Okay. No, you won't be on the set. By the way, my wife was asking me yesterday, did you enjoy doing your craft project? Okay, this is getting chaotic. I hope this doesn't become the Crusades. Okay. Come on. You got this black line right here. Oh, hey, Mike. You get this one right over here on my right-hand side. All right. You're awesome. Come on, TT. You've got the corner. There's another black line on here I'm missing. If anybody sees it, it's on this side of things. Brent?
Red mark?
Katie, go get that red mark. Yeah, get the red mark. Okay. No, Monica, you. You're here. Brent, you're here. Okay. Told you I could get him to do it. This has no point. I just want to see. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so. What's 3 feet? What's 3 feet? Would you guess about that far?
From roughly
there. Yeah, from. Okay, wife, come be 3 foot.
3 foot?
Yeah, right. Past Brent.
Past Brent?
Okay.
Past the end of the rope.
Huh? Past the end of the rope, yeah. Okay. Let's make sure we get technical. Okay, so 2024, 2000, no idea. No idea. No idea. The birth of Jesus. Okay? So everything there over is Jesus. Come back to this. The time Isaiah wrote the words you just read. This is the beginning of the age of the prophecy to Malachi. So these are the years of prophecy. There's about 250, 300 years. Beyond that, go back over to JT, get over to Katie's mark. This is when the first books of the Bible were written. Okay, so when you have the Torah, you got Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, everything else. This through here to, where's the 3 feet?
It's right here, right here.
That's the beginning of time.
I'm the beginning of time.
And in my life, the end of time. So, so you have biblical narrative of them passing off from generation to generation to generation to generation before Moses could write it down and with the education that he had. Now, you might say, or some might say, well, okay, so they could have changed it. They probably messed it up over that 1,400 years. If you've ever known a true Jewish family who passed stories on to one another, that's not possible. Also, everybody in the Jewish community is passing on. So if you messed up one detail, they're on you, okay? But then he writes it down, We go on. Then this is going to be up to the beginning. Wait, yeah, you're the prophecy, right? So this is when prophecy starts. This is when God starts speaking to prophets to tell us about the future as well as what they're doing wrong and what they're doing right. So you guys can all drop your string. You're good. Thank you. Because all my main point is going to be over here. This period of time, after they've been hearing now for 250, 300 years, God talking through his prophets, God goes silent. Silent. They don't hear anything. Not for 400 to 450 years do they hear a peep out of God. And they are struggling, as the people of God, for a Savior. So what they do is they keep going back here to mine the scriptures for anything they can find because God is silent. So this entire 400 years, so almost double thereabouts of the time we've been a nation, they are desperate to understand the Old Testament scriptures the best they can to find out where is our hope come from. Does that make sense? And then Jesus. Then we have within that, somewhere along here, there it is. This is the first 100 years of the church when they wrote the New Testament. If anybody tells you this word within the last couple 100 years, they're full of crap. Every single one comes back to the first century and has to be tied to the apostles. Nancy, come on. And then we have all this time that we should be mining the scriptures to understand what God's saying as we wait for our hope. Does that all make sense? It's a very, very long time. It's a very desperate situation. And so when this happened, everybody here knew what they were looking for because they looked to hear. Everybody good? Just drop on the ground. No one trip on it. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Very good job. Very nice. Yeah, I still got. If you want to, look at Viv going the extra mile right now. Thank you, Viv. So that's what I want to do is I want to make sure we understand what they were mining for and look at the scriptures to see what we have. And I want to start with the pre-runner for the Messiah. That's what they're looking for first. And so I'll give you a couple scriptures. I'm going to put them up on the screen for you with Lisa's help. The first one still being from Isaiah. Well, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Just leave that there for a sec. Who are they talking about? We know that. They didn't. They just know. What do they know from this one voice from mining the scriptures that they're looking for? Someone calling. We know it's of one. A voice. We've got to be looking. Yeah, we're looking in the wilderness. Preparing the way for the Lord. Isaiah talked about that a little bit, 9, so we're kind of trying to fill out nuggets within that. He'll be the only one calling out, absolutely. He's the only way to God. Highway to our God. Next verse. Malachi 3:1. God says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. What do we know? Talking about John again. And if I'm living in that period of time where I'm desperate and I'm minding the scriptures, I know somebody's coming and he's going to be in the wilderness. What else do I pick up from this one voice? Messiah will come. Messiah will come suddenly. Right? Remember the word suddenly. He'll be hanging out at the temple. He's going to come to the temple. He's the Which will really freak them out because they don't know what that means yet. No. That's what you know about John the Baptist for those 400 years. That's what you know. But you're looking, and you're waiting, and you're counting on it. Luke chapter 1. The fulfillment. Didn't hear anybody turn pages. Not a one. Luke 1. I don't know. Everybody's like on the phone. I know you're on your phones. You guys are so cooler than I am, and I'm an old fart. I get it. All right, Luke 1, the fulfillment. Psalm verse 5. In the days of Herod, which is awesome, I love that they give us these historical facts as we bring it in to make sure that we know it's reality and not something just being made up from some la-la land. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, which are priests, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their years. So what we know, the Jewish couple, righteous couple, both are from priestly backgrounds. Zechariah is a priest, so he has dedicated his entire life to this, but they've never had a kid. Verse 8, now while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will call his name John, and you will have the joy and gladness, and many will receive at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn their hearts and their fathers to their children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now we will start to make those two sentences make sense, right? Now it makes sense. We got, again, Jewish couple, righteous couple, priestly guy, nothing really standing behind them, they're above reproach. He is now in his Super Bowl moment. If you've missed that, it is his. The Holy of Holies is exactly that. And no one's allowed to go in the Holy of Holies except for a priest to intercede for the people. And only then, because they were selected to be the priest at that time. It was so holy that they would tie a rope, like what I was just using all around the room, to tie onto their ankle so that if he had a heart attack and died in there, they could drag the corpse out because nobody else was going into the Holy of Holies. That's how serious this moment was. And you got to do it once as a priest. This is his Super Bowl moment. He's been waiting for it forever. And he goes in to do the role of the incense, and an angel shows up. And that should probably freak him out, because what happens when Jesus comes? Jesus comes suddenly. What happens when prophecies are fulfilled? It's suddenly. And so he tells him, good news, you're going to have both. And you know those two scriptures that you guys have been studying left and right? You're going to be the daddy, and your wife's going to be the mommy of the forerunner that's coming for Jesus Christ. And you're going to have him follow these instructions, because he's a Ninevite instruction. So he's going to be holy, and he's going to be set apart for a particular task to get the people ready for the Lord, because the Lord is coming. Zechariah, the holy man, righteous man, dedicated his whole life, he says to the angel, how shall I know this? Because I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. That makes logical sense, does it not? We're going to find he gets spanked for it a little bit. Because what he's saying is, this doesn't make sense. So how could this even be? So instead of hitting it with faith, he hits it with doubt. Understandable doubt. Understandable doubt. I mean, God, okay. This is when she hates why I get like this. Jenny and I would be freaked out if God told us this. Am I allowed to say it like that? Is that an appropriate way? Because I have no sperm and she has no uterus. Is that correct? Okay. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. But, Scott, did you have to ask Carrie what I meant? Okay.
A little bit more blunt.
Gotcha. That series is done. We just got done with that series, remember? But anyways, so it makes sense what he's asking, but this is how the angel answers him. And thankfully, I like this angel's candor. He goes, listen, I'm Gabriel. Okay? That right there should be enough. Right? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until that day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Can you imagine getting the greatest news of your time and you can't tell anybody? That's basically what comes into place. So the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple, because that's, like I said, that's odd. We don't know what's going on in there. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." From this, holding on to these promises, holding on to this new prophecy that the angel gives to Zechariah, what can we learn about hope? I'm making you guys work some this week. What can you learn about hope? I got some bullet points, I just don't go to them yet.
She had no hope because she was barren, and she was under reproach from the others for that. Now she has hope because she's a child.
And that's the thing, back in that day, in that culture, if you didn't hear, he's talking about Elizabeth and being barren and the reproach. In that time, if you were barren, like, you had to have done something wrong, because God sent us out to multiply. God sent us out to have children. This is one of our main roles. And what's wrong with you two? You know, you're the priest and you're from the priestly family, but you guys aren't having kids. What did you do to make God mad? It's a very Job-like mentality when we come to that. So that was one of our struggles for hope. So what else? Back to awkward silence. Yeah.
That's a big hope.
Right, they've gotten the first nugget of it. So now that they at least those two know, so they know the Messiah is coming. So you start to see some evidence to the promise. Come on, one more before I have to call somebody out. Sherita's out in the hallway. I can ask her when she comes in. Hold on, we'll get her. We'll get her. She knows something's up. Get in here, woman. Okay, I'll give you some with Lisa's help. First one that kind of stands out. You cheater. Hope takes faith. Hope takes faith. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, because we need it for the next section of scripture anyways. Mary finds out from an angel she's going to have a baby. So just so you know that that's coming. Other thing we're going to know is when Mary finds out that she's going to have a baby, even though she's never been with a man, and it makes no logical sense, her response, and we'll get into it more when we get to their story, is how will this play out? It's not, how do I know this is true? This doesn't make any sense. It's like, okay, can I just ask the next details? And she's actually honored for that, but because she had faith in her answer within it. Here he's like, you're nuts. This makes no sense. Hope, if we're going to have hope that goes beyond the circumstances, we have to have faith. And I'll tell you what, faith is not popular these days. Faith is not popular these days. Second one that kind of just stood out is you got to take your focus off your circumstances if you're going to hope. Circumstances, you got to take your focus off circumstances. Circumstances will tell you everything but faith. Anybody feeling that one? Yeah. Okay, because I'm just looking around, I'm like, people are like, yeah, you're right. It's true. So the world that we live in is not our home. This is not our citizenship. And of course, it's going to not make sense to us. Satan does not want us with God. He actually wants to hurt people that are with God, to take them away from, not even just take them away, but just if he can make God hurt, because he loves you as your child. Circumstances are played with not just by God, but by Satan. And not just by God, not by Satan, but some of your circumstances are because we make stupid decisions or other people make stupid decisions in our life. And we have to lean into him to go through the ripple effects instead of letting them have control. And then the third one that kind of stood out here is when it takes shape, worship. You see that with Elizabeth? I'll be honest with you, I don't know what Elizabeth's response was, because it doesn't tell us. I know what her husband's was. I don't know if she leaned into faith real quick like Mary did, or if she was struggling with it as well. But what I do know is that when the pieces start falling into order, like what Andrew was talking about, and they saw, this is happening, She immediately went to worship. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, and to take away my reproach among the people, we made sure we knew where the promise was from. If the angel never came, and if she just happened to get pregnant, I don't know if there would be worship there. Maybe, oh, I've been praying to be, so yeah, maybe, or maybe it's just that's a weird circumstance, or we don't understand everything medically yet, or we have this, but when God says this impossible thing's going to happen, and it happens, then your proper response is, holy crap, God knew what he was talking about, and he let me be part of his plan, he's letting me be part of his testimony. That's a pretty beautiful thing. And I'll tell you, the way that you experience it is when you follow him in faith into the impossible. Because when you stay behind your borders and your walls and your comfort zones, he doesn't have that opportunity versus trusting him and leaning into him. Does that make sense? So there's quite a bit there, I think, that we can learn. Now, if we continue going on, I'm going to read another section in Luke 1. I'm going to jump over to 39, and this is now Mary has been visited by the angel, and he tells her, and I think this is very, very cool. Let me see if I can find the next. Verse 36. It's not near you, verse. I'm just kind of adding it in. After she asks, how would this play out, he tells her, and then he gives her some evidence. She doesn't ask for evidence. It's not like Zacharias. She doesn't ask, but the angel is kind enough to give it to her. He says, behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, and she's conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who has been called barren, for nothing would be impossible with God. Did you hear that one? Okay. Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word, and the angel departed from her. So she has no idea about Elizabeth being pregnant yet, outside of what the angel says. Verse 39, and I like how Luke writes this. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, the town of Judah. She's like, holy crap, she's pregnant? I got to see if this is true. I got to go check this out. I want to make sure I didn't have a bad burrito moment, whatever it was. I want to make sure this is of God, right? So she's taking him up on his offer. Here's some evidence for you. And so she goes with haste. In those days, she went with haste, okay, into the hill country, and she entered the house of Zechariah. In other words, I think she's bolting, and she greets Elizabeth. Just, and I'm wondering what speech Mary has rehearsed going to Elizabeth's house to find out if she's pregnant or not. Because that's kind of a sensitive thing to bring up. Us men know you do not ask a woman, are you pregnant? You don't do that. To go into your relative's house and say, I know you've never been having a child. I know this has been a very sensitive issue for you. I know this has been great grief to you. Just out of curiosity, are you knocked up? It doesn't. She's got this whole speech, I think, prepared, trying to figure out what to say. And so in 41, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mary didn't get a word out. Didn't get a word out. She comes in, the fetus in the womb celebrates the Messiah by jumping. And Elizabeth, because of the Holy Spirit, knew. Blessed are you who are among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. The whole story is completely being passed off. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. How does she know that? The Holy Spirit told her the entire story in that moment. Blessed are you that believed it. We were morons. We were goofballs. Blessed are you that received without this proof. Here's the fourth one I'll throw out to you. Hope is contagious. If we're talking about keeping ourselves centered correctly on the Christmas narrative, on the Christmas story, on the celebration of Jesus Christ coming into this world, of the fulfillment of all the prophecy and the years of silence, and all these things come together, it is our opportunity to be witnesses, to go into the world and let hope be contagious. If we're complaining about the schedule, if we're complaining about the gifts and the money and all these other things, then we're making it right back to what we talked about, the 48 Plus Club, which is celebrating the birth of Christ the same way the rest of the world does, and they don't do it very well. We do. We can. Because hope is contagious. Amen? The power of your testimony. It keeps coming back over and over again as the scripture. a testimony again is any time that you, this is what's going on, or this is what was going on, but God stepped in, and this is the difference he made. We have a billion of these testimonies. And during this month, when there's a lightened and a heightened expectation of people to hear about Christ, that's why you're going to see all the stuff on the History Channel and CNN and on Sunday night movies about Christmas and the narrative and all that stuff. It's because people are asking questions. You and I get to go out, and when they're talking about all the craziness, instead of going, you think you got crazy, let me tell you about how bad I've got it, we can say, I'm sorry to hear that, because you know what? I'm celebrating the life of the Messiah. Now, I just looked at John the Baptist and the history, and it's just crazy, crazy. And if they can do that, I can do that too. You have that opportunity to be able to share that contagiousness for the hope. In this story, here, the testimony that we have, and you continue to Luke 1, Mary has all this come together. Elizabeth has all this come together. Zacharias has all this come together. By the way, he gets his voice back when John is born, and they say, what should his name be? And his father's first words were, his name will be John. That's what the angel said. That's what it would be. So his statement of faith brought it back around. But I love the fact that when all this came together, Mary sings.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.